Kids can come on up front. Do you have it today, Bailey? Do you have Bella? Okay, thank you. All right, well, guess what I heard at Walmart this week? Got it. Christmas music. I heard Christmas music at Walmart this week. You know, I used to wonder when I was a kid why Christmas took so long to get here. Now I know, because it really does take so long. It's so far out whenever they start anticipating Christmas. Are you excited that winter's coming and then Christmas after that? Lots of fun things. Now, when I was a kid, one of my favorite things to do is watch the commercials of all the new toys coming out at Christmas time. And I love watching the Toys R Us commercials, seeing everything that was there and get my hopes up for all the things I wanted. And I love the Toys R Us song. Y'all probably don't know it. I don't know if they use it anymore, but I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. There's a million things at Toys R Us that I can play with. From bikes to trains to video games. It's the coolest toy store there is. I don't want to grow up, because if I did, I wouldn't be a Toys R Us kid. How many of you never want to grow up, want to stay a kid forever? Raise your hand if you want to stay a kid forever. You do? Peter Pan did. Peter Pan wanted to stay a kid forever. But you know what? If you stay a kid forever, you'll never drive a car. You'll never go to college. You'll never be able to get strong and tall. You'll never be able to dunk a basketball or throw a football a long ways. Never going to go over go to work? Well, that's not a bad... But you'll never get your own money. You'll never earn your own money to be... You want to earn your own money? Now listen, who makes us grow? Who makes us grow? God and Jesus, they make us grow, don't they? They make us grow, but do we have to do some things too? Do we have to eat healthy food, eat our vegetables? Yeah. We do. That helps us grow, but it's God who makes it happen. But we have a responsibility as well. Well, you know what? There's more to you than just your body. There's more to you than just how tall you get. You have something inside of you. What's inside of you? Organs? What did God put inside of you? Organs are right. What special thing that we can't see? Our soul. Shh, listen. God put a soul inside of us, and He put a spirit inside of us. And you know what? He wants it to grow too. He wants it to grow, but you know what it needs? God will make it grow, but it needs something. It needs us to pray and us to study. It needs spiritual food for our spirits and our souls to grow. So let's sing a song. A song most of you probably know. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible, don't ever pray. Don't ever pray, don't ever pray. Neglect your Bible, don't ever pray. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Neglect your Bible, don't ever pray. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Okay, good job. Well, if you're 3 through 3rd grade, you can go next door with Betsy and Rachel. Or Bailey and Rachel. Sorry, Betsy. Sorry, Bailey. Otherwise, you can go back and sit down, yeah? Go back and sit down with your family. All right. Well, they're going next door so well. I want to see how well I can get you guys up. So everybody stand up. And if you're able to navigate the stairs, follow me. Let's go downstairs. We'll come right back up. So if your legs are up to it, If not, you can remain seated. But if you can, head on downstairs with me. Nah. We're just going to follow through. I just want everybody to see all the hard work that's been going on here. We've got a new painted classroom with a new wall put in it. Tore out the old moldy wall, so that's painted and new. The hallway's been painted and new. Got a fresh coat of paint on the hallway. This little cubby here is new with bookcases on the end. So go ahead and go. And Frank, if you can, we're going to head up and walk on the ramp in the annex and go outside and see the new siding up on the front and the lights there. So I just want to show everybody, I said, this new cubby here, everything was torn out of the old one, the new paint on the hallway, new room redone with new paint on it. Lots of hard work. Pretty soon we're going to have new carpet down here as well. This week I think they're going to start laying the carpet. So just want to make sure everybody gets a chance to see it all. Yeah, go up the ramp and we're, all the way out and then through the side door there. Nope, straight ahead, Deborah. Yep. And then we'll go around the front and look at the new siding that's been put up and the new light fixtures. There we go. Did you hear me downstairs talking about all the stuff that's been done? Okay. Yeah, we're good. There you go. Have the new light fixtures here. Roger covering over these old wooden windows. And the light fixtures are go off at sunset or go off at sunrise and turn on sunset. And you see up above there? Looks very nice. Most of the windows have been covered over, a few left, but siding and insulated. Thank you, Frank. Oh, the new siding. Yeah, it does. He's going to finish covering the little brown strips and make it all white. Used to be the windows and the slats, and he just covered them all over except for the two square windows. All right, I just wanted everybody to see it. There's been a lot of hard work going on. I'm going to come in and sit down. If you've already seen what's out front, you can just have a seat, but a lot of new siding over that front entryway there. And some of you have already seen it. You've all hopefully seen the old wooden windows that have been boarded up over here, covered with the nice white siding. You saw that from the parking lot. But I wanted you to see all of it. Mike mentioned last week that go down and take a look. Well, I forced you to this week. So let everybody see. And again, it's not finished yet. There's still work going on. And I greatly appreciate it, and I wanted everyone to be able to see it and just share in it. Got some slides here. Which one would you rather have? The mushed up peas for baby food, with a nice steak dinner with potatoes and a squash or zucchini or something there along with it. I know which one I'd choose. I'd go for the steak. I think most of us would agree. There might be a baby or two in here that might prefer the peas, but for the most part, I would think you're pretty strange if you went for the little cup of peas. I would imagine most adults would want a heartier, more flavor-filled texture meal. Which one? The baby bottle or a nice cappuccino? I have to say, I'm not a huge fan of cappuccinos. I drink them, but they're not my favorite. But I know lots of people do, so I threw it up here. But think of whatever drink you want, whether it be just good, strong black coffee, whichever one you prefer. Would you really want baby formula? Lukewarm baby formula at that? I don't. I would much rather have either a Coca-Cola or a nice good coffee or some hot tea. Those are some of my favorite beverages. Now, I'm going down to Oklahoma next week, and I'm excited. Because in Oklahoma City, there's a place called Ted's Cafe Escondido. And it's my favorite Mexican food of anywhere that I've had. You think, how in the world does a guy named Ted make Mexican? That's a good question. I don't know, but he makes it good. You get big portions. It's all excellent. There's nothing wanting. Usually you go with like, well, this is pretty good, this is pretty good, and I'll let that slide. There's nothing like that at Ted's. It's all good. It's all just right, at least for my taste. Either that or Taco Bell. Now, the downside is I hope I get Ted's. I'm probably going to get Taco Bell because it's an 8-hour drive to Oklahoma City, and then we're going to drive another 3 hours past that to get down to the family reunion. So a lot of time in the car, a lot of fast food. I'm sure I'm going to get Taco Bell. But I know which one I would prefer. I would prefer the nice Mexican restaurant. Mexican's one of my favorite foods. This is one of my favorite restaurants, but I might have to live with what I get from Taco Bell. A nice, good homemade burger or a Happy Meal? And here's the last one. What would you prefer? Nice homemade tacos or a hot dog? I did that just for Roger. Friday night, we did an appreciation dinner for all the food pantry volunteers, and lots of people came, and Roger and Diana were there as well. And I was making my homemade tacos. I like them a lot. I think everybody else should like them, so I make them for people. They're one of my favorite foods. And it just goes, you know, it's logical that everyone else would like them as well. Well, the first thing Roger does when he walks in and says, "What? No hot dogs?" Of course, he said it in jest. And as we were eating, he said, "Colby, you did a good job, and I appreciate it." And he went back for seconds even, so maybe he wasn't lying. But Roger is one of those strange people who is happy with hot dogs. I occasionally will have a hot dog. I don't really ever want them, but occasionally I'll eat them. But some people enjoy it. And that's a matter of taste, but for the most part, some things are geared to kids. Baby food and formula geared for baby. Happy Meals and hot dogs geared for little kids, the age of my kids. But by and large, adults would rather have something more. Would rather have something with more flavor, something with more texture, unless you're weird like Roger. And the reason I bring up these choices for you is because Hebrews, the book of Hebrews brings up choices as well. It talks about the distinction between the two different kinds of food. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature. Good food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." So the author of Hebrews says, don't you want the good stuff? Then why are you stuck with the simple baby food? You should be mature. You should be growing. You should be thriving. Your spirit should be increasing every single day. Your connection to God, your love for God, the understanding of His Word should be something that continually grows. But the author of Hebrews is telling his audience, you're stuck. You're stuck on the baby food. Don't you know there's something better? I was a picky kid. My parents always tried to get me to eat stuff. And my mom would always say, you don't know what you're missing. I would eat my peanut butter and jelly sandwich while everybody else ate the good stuff. And she would say, you don't know what you're missing, you don't know what you're missing. Well, I was stubborn. I wasn't going to listen. But long about late junior high, early high school, I started to find something out. She's right. I didn't know what I was missing. Some of that's some pretty good stuff. some of that, some excellent stuff that I was turning up my nose at for years because I didn't realize how good it could be. And a lot of people who are stuck on the milk and the baby food of the Spirit are stuck in that infant stage of the maturity of their Christian walk. They don't know how good it can be. They don't know how good it can get. Hebrews gets into talking about Melchizedek. It's really fascinating, maybe a little bit laborious, but it gets so much better than that. It gets so much better than what we could be stuck with. It's like not just eating food, but imagine you should be in college reading Shakespeare, but instead you're reading Dr. Seuss. Now, I like Dr. Seuss as much as the next guy. I like him a lot. Sometimes I might even prefer him over Shakespeare, but you get the idea. You're supposed to progress. You're supposed to grow. There's supposed to be more to it than that. Unless they even take Dr. Seuss out of it, because he's pretty fun. Let's go with C. Jane and Spot Run and all those very cold and simple sentence statements that aren't fun at all. Why would you choose that over J.R.R. Tolkien? Or that over some other great work of literature? You start there, and it's appropriate to start there, but you don't want to stay there because there's so much more things that can be better, that can be more enriching for you. And if Dr. Seuss or the simple readers are all that you're exposed to, your exposure is limited. If all you have ever eaten is baby food, say, there's so much more out there. You just need to try it. Well, what is it they need to be moving into and moving beyond? He's talking about spiritual things, not physical food. And the author of Hebrews tells us specifically what he wants them to move beyond, starting in chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washing and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. These are the basics, important, essential, good to focus on, and they have a depth to them. He's not saying don't ever think about these things anymore. Don't ever give attention to them, because our understanding can grow immensely of even these simple ideas, but do you at least have the simple grasp of what it's about? Like any Christian should. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. Do you know what repentance means? Do you know that you've been called to change? And that's Christianity 101. How much you'll change is a lifelong process. You're going to understand more and more every day just what a call that is and how difficult it can be. But do you at least acknowledge in your mind that that's what's needed? That's basic Christianity. And he said, let's not go back to there. Let's keep moving forward. Faith toward God. Do you understand you need to trust in God? Rely on Him? The more you do it, the more you'll be amazed about how far you have to go. But you at least have a basic understanding, a basic grasp that we are a people who trust God. Instructions about washings. That's the same word for baptism. He's either talking about understanding the baptism that they've already had to become a Christian, or understanding the proper place of the ceremonial washings that the Jews did that they don't need anymore. Either way, this is basic stuff that they should understand, they should comprehend. And the laying on of hands is the same way. The early church laid hands on each other to pass on the gift of the Holy Spirit. They needed to understand that. We might not do it now because we believe that gift of the transmission of the Holy Spirit from the apostles' hands is no longer with us. But have a basic understanding of the Spirit, of how it impacts your life, the fact that we're called to be spiritual people. The resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, basic Christianity. The author of Hebrews is saying you need to at least have a somewhat understanding, somewhat of a grasp of these topics, so that we can move forward, because there's so much more. Verse 3, and this we will do if God permits. Those were the core issues. They should have been grasped early on, but the problem was they didn't. And the question is, did they have the capacity to move on, or did they just not want to? Could they understand them? The author of Hebrews thinks they could have, and he goes on into Melchizedek pretty quickly, saying, come on, let's push each other. Let's go forward together. So it's not just a matter of them not being able to understand the deeper things of God. It's the fact they were content with where they were. Content with a hot dog. When there was so much more. We need to eat the good stuff instead of the simple, tasteless, pureed, mushy peas. Now, why would someone prefer those mushy peas? Well, certain restriction of their diet, maybe. There might be a few exceptions, but for the most part, the normal adult would want something of more substance. And it would be silly to want the baby food. So the question is, what do you prefer? What do you want to eat? Be careful how you answer it. Because we might say something with our mouth, but it might be betrayed in our actions. There have been many workers here over the past several weeks coming and doing that. That's why I wanted to show it to you. Downstairs, lots of work's been done. Outside, lots of work's been done. In the annex, cleaning things. Someone even had the audacity to clean my office, which I am ashamed about. They're not even here this morning right now to hear this, but oh, there she is. But my office, I usually work on my computer down here in the annex, going upstairs, sitting in that small room. I enjoy being able to walk around, to pace, to move around. So I usually work down here, so it becomes just my catch-all. I go up and I dump stuff off and I pick stuff up and I never put it back where it goes. And you can feel for Lisa now because I operate the same way at home. Anyway, my office was a pit. It was a mess. And I told them, I'll do it. But come to find out, I walk in there, hey, this is nice. They stacked stuff up on the table, but at least cleared off the floor, and at least got things better organized than what I had them. So lots of good work, lots of hard work going on. And that work took many hours, especially in my office. But the painting, the renovating, hard work, the money that's behind it, much of this has been done just out of the people doing it, out of their own pockets, not wanting reimbursements. So I greatly appreciate that, and it shows a good servant spirit and a good desire to want to help. And I'm torn this morning because I wanted to encourage that and say how grateful I am and appreciate that. Do you hear the butt coming? I did a series of sermons in September on being a spiritual people. And one of those sermons was on doing, even when we're doing physical work, we do it with a spiritual mindset and a spiritual heart. And it was right after that sermon that Mike actually got up whenever they had cleaned out the annex and the stuff was on the annex table there for the taking. Mike stood up and said, well, somebody's been listening to Colby's sermons. Well, I like it when people listen to my sermons. But the question is, did you? Or are you preferring the simple baby food to adult meals, rather working on a building than work on souls? Now, don't get offended. Don't get upset. Hear me out. Don't be mad. Because this building needs attention. And the hard work that's gone into it has been long overdue. And people have taken it upon themselves to say, you know what, this place needs some work. And I'm going to step in and do it. And that's good. That's good. But where's the balance? Because we need more to be more about than just the physical. A couple of examples for you. The end of September, we announced a Midwest Bible Camp Corporation meeting. Every year, the camp has several meetings throughout the year for the board members, but one meeting a year is for everybody to come, to hear about camp and participate in it. And we had it here at our building, and we provided the food and encouraged people to come. Guess how many came? Close. There was one. There was one who came. And I appreciated that because I was honestly expecting zero, even though we had announced it many times. Another example. LTC, you can look in the bulletin this morning and see a list of LTC coaches we still need. That was put in there 2 weeks ago, now that LTC is getting geared up. And if there's anything that has a spiritual focus, it's LTC. It's training up our children to become the leaders of the church tomorrow, which is far more important than any building. Guess how many people volunteered to be coaches? Zero's right this time. And I know that's not everyone's ability, not everyone has the time. I'm not saying everyone should just be able to jump on these events that are going on, but you can maybe understand it's a little bit disheartening whenever no one does. Back in the summer, I wanted to start a new men's class. We've had men's classes in the before, and I'd recently read a book I really liked, and I wanted to have a study about it. I thought it would be really good fuel to have a men's group that meets and discuss it and have activities and grow together. And I announced it a few times. I even went to a few individual people suggesting, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And as you can see, it's never got off the ground. Never got quite enough interest for it to go. One more. The past 2 weeks, I've talked about I'm going to Oklahoma next week. Guess who's preaching on Sunday? Your guess is as good as mine. And that one doesn't surprise me. There's not just a huge number of people in this congregation who feel comfortable presenting a sermon from the pulpit, but do you see how they all build? That there's been so much emphasis on doing things that needed to be done. Don't misunderstand me. I appreciate the hard work that's been put into it, but where's the spiritual things? Where's the meat? This building is temporary. It might burn down tomorrow. And then what? Well, good work that's done out of a desire to serve isn't wasted. Even if it burned down tomorrow, I don't think it would be wasted. But aren't there so many more important things? And do those have our focus? Your actions speak louder than our words. Because we can come and we can have Bible classes and worship services, and those are spiritual things. That's the core of our spiritual, collective spiritual activities. And we're here this morning, and good. But don't you think there's more? You don't know what you're missing. My mom used to tell me. Don't put all of our effort into the material, here today and gone tomorrow. Put our effort into the spiritual, where moth and rust don't destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? I'm not saying one without the other. That's not the case. Let's let the building fall down around us and only think about spiritual things. That wouldn't help. We need those who are willing to come and take care of the physical needs and give us a place of worship that's usable. But why? Just so that we can come and sit? Or so that we can use it for spiritual purposes? I'm a little bit at my wit's end. My mom, I bought her a coffee cup a couple of years ago. Maybe probably more than a couple. It said, "Have you kicked your cat today?" I thought it was hysterical. I laughed out loud when I saw it. I got to buy my mom this, and I gave it to her, and she was a little bit offended. She says, "I don't kick my cat." I said, "You don't kick it, but you definitely like to shoo it away." Or not just shoo it away, she likes to imagine all the things she would have done to that cat. The cat since died, but she had a love-hate relationship with that cat. And one thing about it, the one thing that got her the most was, It was an older cat. When it was a kitten, we'd feed it just dry food and whatever. But as it got older, my mom was trying to take better care of it, and she would buy the nice canned cat food. Occasionally, she would even buy the fancy feast if it was on sale. You know, you see the commercials of it being on the nice dish and platter. And it's expensive stuff, and it's supposed to... Guess what the cat would do? Trot it in there, look at it, literally turn up its nose and go the other way. Nothing infuriated my mother more than to watch that cat do that to her. What are you turning your nose up at? Good food? Where's the meat? God doesn't want spiritual vegetarians. He doesn't desire them at all. You need to be careful not to become them. I try as a minister to promote spiritual food. I don't believe I'm the source of it. God's the source of it. If anything, I'm the nutritionist as my role as a preacher. I say, hey, let's make sure that we get a well-rounded meal. Let's make sure that we're covering all the bases, that we're being healthy. That's kind of my position. Spur that on. How many spiritual happy meals have we been eating that have been unhealthy or with an improper focus, and how much meat with its protein and its lasting effects have we been eating? Your work shows what you care about. Now, what shows that you care about spiritual things? Now, one of the workers who has been working on things, she had her grandson here with her. And she knows who she is. And the grandson's not here this morning, otherwise I wouldn't mention him. But it's good. It's actually not a biological grandson, but someone that her family's taken in. Really appreciate that spirit behind that. But anyway, when she was here one day, she came over to the fence and was talking to him. She said, Colby, my grandson's going to be here tomorrow working with me, and I'd like you to come over and talk to him. He's been reading the Bible some. He's had some things in his past, and I think it'd be good if you come. And I did. No, I didn't talk a whole lot of time. I hope I get a chance to talk to him more. I enjoyed the conversation I had, and I would like to keep pursuing that. I didn't want to push too hard, too fast, but that's the way it should be. Here she was, wanting to do physical work, but caring very much about the more important thing behind it. The spiritual things, the soul. That's good. And so I'm not picking on any one person doing any number of any of the jobs. I'm saying as a collective congregation, what are we feeding on? What are we eating? What are we craving? Are we exercising our spiritual muscles or just taking care of the physical jobs? It does matter. So I'm torn in this lesson. As I was getting up here, ready to do it, I'm like, well, should I preach on something else? I could do it off the fly, because I don't want to discourage you. I'm worried that it might, and that is not my goal at all. I want to encourage all the hard work and service that's been put into it. That tour I did downstairs and outside, that was sincere. I do appreciate it, and amazing work, long overdue. You're doing a wonderful job. But there has to be something more. Otherwise, the building's for naught. I don't want to see a lack of spirituality in a congregation that I know has such potential. And so I'm willing to run the risk of maybe you have it stinging a little bit. I tell my kids, eat your vegetables, eat your food. And they might not like it. One of them is going through a phase, has been for a while now, of I don't like you, Daddy. I don't like you, Mama. Gets this up pretty well, but the thing is, I'd rather him be healthy than him to like me at that particular moment. I want us to be healthy. I want us to attain to that spiritual food, which we have the potential to do. And I know that there are many who are growing. Many of you study your Bible and pray continually at home on a personal basis, and that's good. I know many of you do a better job than I do. I'm completely convinced of that. But spiritual formation and growth is not intended to be individual. It's meant to be communal. That we come to the table and we eat together, not just on our own. We have eat a communal spiritual meal and exercise our collective spiritual muscles. Because then so much more can be accomplished than us just doing it on our own. I'm not going as long as I thought I would. So, take comfort. I'm almost done. I love the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews can spur you on. It can admonish you pretty well. It can give you a wake-up call, a good swift kick. There's quite a bit of that in the book of Hebrews. Here's one of them. You guys aren't eating the solid spiritual food. You're drinking milk. Come on, you can do better than that. And the author of Hebrews does such a good job of that, but he doesn't leave them there. He doesn't just spur them and then leave the open wound. He takes them beyond that. I want to begin in verse 4 of chapter 6. Alex read through verse 3. I want to keep going. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good work of God and the powers of the age to come, those who have fully experienced the riches that God has to offer and then have fallen away, verse 6, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. For ground that drinks the rain, which often falls on it and brings forth vegetation, useful to those for whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being burned, and it ends up being burned. That's one of the harshest rebukes in the book of Hebrews, and one that we wrestle with, trying to reconcile it. Because yes, forgiveness is available, but he says it's impossible for them to even want to come back when they reach that place. So it's a warning. Don't go there. Don't let your spirit die, be quenched, wither up and blow away, because you might not ever get it back. A stern warning, a harsh rebuke. But, verse 9, one of my favorite verses. But, beloved, he just says, you're not eating food, and you're in danger of losing it all. You're in danger of being condemned, but beloved, he loves them. We are convinced of better things concerning you. Beloved, I know that's not where you're headed. I'm confident of better things. Things that accompany salvation. Though we are speaking in this way, because God's not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, and having ministered and then still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He says, it's a warning, it's a stern warning, because they needed it. But then he says, but I know, I have confidence that you're going to move in the right direction. I see the effort that you put in. And I know from the past, you can do great things. You just have to put the spiritual emphasis on it that's needed. And I don't stand up here as apart from you. I need to work harder in having things that are true spiritual food, not letting myself fall into that same trap. But we need to work on it together. And as I said, at my wits end a little bit, let's help each other. You help me. Let's strive to have a spiritual focus that God wants us to have. And the physical work that goes along with it, but that doesn't replace it. I'm going to offer the invitation now. And as I do it, I want to again encourage everything that you've done. Hard work that you have put in, So many of you have put in effort, and I'm not saying no one's been putting in the effort for spiritual things, but here lately a lot of spiritual food has gone uneaten. Let's remember that we're spiritual people. Now, as I offer the invitation, as I offer the salvation, don't let that lull you into a false sense of security that, oh, we're spiritual people because we hear the invitation every week. It's not just hearing it. It's living it. Living the grace and the spiritual things that God has filled us with. And so we offer the invitation. If you need to come to that, if you need to come to the table, to this feast of food, this saving food, it's available to you this morning. And if you need encouragement, prayers, anything we can help you with, won't you come as we stand and sing?